what's going on? That's so funny. Morales picked that up. I did do the looky video in front of a picture of myself. Could there be anything more me than that?
No, I've told the story a million times about when you had a birthday party and it was like Amanda's birthday and Lisa's birthday. And so I said, I can't come over. It's Lisa's birthday. You go, well, have them come over. We'll do a party for everybody. It'll be like a birthday celebration for everybody that's got a birthday. So we go to Mason's house and he walks out with a giant cake of a picture of his face.
Yep.
That was all that was on the cake.
And it said, happy birthday to me.
Yeah. That is very on brand for you to be hanging and framing pictures in your house of you.
So, yeah, by the way, it's a magazine cover. It's my first and only and probably last magazine cover that I ever had. We're in the middle of, we're going to get to a lot of Lakers here. There's a lot going on after Friday night's win over Indiana. But I want to make sure that everybody knows that you can join our 710 Bracket Challenge. Go to our @ESPN Los Angeles Twitter page, and you can enter your bracket. Today, you can play along with me and Ireland, Lindsay, Jorge. I talked to Max Kellerman today. Everybody from the station is doing this thing. And because we are a low-budget operation, apparently, I am sending a prize to the winner on me. Pizza, beer, something like that, to the winner of the whole thing.
You're not going to send him your Purple Crush whatever?
Oh, no, I can't send my granddaddy Purple OG.
Why?
Don't want, because I don't want to force that on anybody.
Right, but don't you think most of the audience... See, I'm not a pot guy. You're a pot guy. I think most of the audience in this regard is probably with you.
Do you really think most of the audience smokes cannabis?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Uses cannabis?
Well, I mean, have you walked through the West Garage?
No, there's no question the West Garage is absolutely cannabis central. But I don't know. I think probably, what percentage of listeners do you think actually use cannabis here on
50.
The show? You think it's a full 50%?
Yeah. I
so
think
it's
I'm
just like
and
the
I
show.
And by the way, I think the needle's moving more towards you than me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. So anyways,
and I think a lot of people that do it don't admit it.
Yeah, I don't know why not. No shame in it. I hope not. I'm not ashamed of it. Lakers Friday night, very, very good performance for the Lakers. Actually, LeBron afterwards talked about Kyle Kuzma, who scored 17 of his 24 in the fourth quarter.
Best game in 3 years for Kuz.
Yeah. Hit that, Jorge, or hit that, Steve.
Well, I mean, tonight he had it going, and we continue to find the hot hand. I wanted to continue to give him the ball, and he continued to make plays. And, that's the growth. The growth of him is knowing that some games are going to be different. It's not going to be always high scoring nights, but you know he's still able to make an impact, especially on the glass, you know, with his energy and his effort. But we need him to make shots. We need him to make shots, especially in the absence of AD. And tonight was an example of that.
And his rebounding has been fantastic. He really hits the boards hard.
Well, particularly on the offensive
the
boards. And he's reinvented his whole game. And the question is, can he take advantage of this time Anthony Davis is going to be out? And there are conflicting reports out about AD. The Lakers say he'll be out at least 2 weeks. Chris Haynes from Yahoo today on a podcast said 3 weeks or more.
Three weeks or maybe longer.
But the official position of the Lakers is he'll be reexamined and they'll issue an update in 2 weeks. The question is, can Kuz, that's a total of 9 games, eight now that they played the Golden State game. Can Kuz, because he basically put up Anthony Davis numbers, 24 and 13.
Yeah, he did.
If he develops into that, then you almost, as a blessing in disguise, you got Kuzma up and running just in time for AD to come back.
What I think is interesting, and Frank Vogel talked about this after the game, is about the injuries and the COVID and what it's doing to his evaluation and the front office's evaluation of where the team is.
Yeah, it slows that process down, quite frankly, the evaluation process. And, you know, you have to keep that perspective, you know, as you're seeing the relationships on the floor being built, you know. So it's just one of the many limiting factors of this type of season. But, you know, we're all in the same boat, and we just got to roll with it.
And, you know, I don't know. Does not having Anthony Davis for 2 or, as Chris Haynes says, 3 weeks or maybe more, does that do something to what the Lakers want to do on the buyout market or potentially in terms of trades.
Well, that, and did you see the Jared Dudley news?
Yeah, Jared Dudley, is he done for the year?
Maybe. He has a knee injury, and it, you know, normally if you tear your ACL like he's done, that's months, not
right.
weeks. But, you know, he's apparently he's been diagnosed with the torn ACL reportedly, and he's thinking about what his options are. But
right.
that could create another roster spot. So they already, you know, Damian Jones has one of them,
yep.
but he's on a 10-day contract. So
and then they've got one more, and now with Jared Dudley, they might have two more.
So they could have three.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes them a prime candidate for buyouts. And the trade deadline, by the way, is in 10 days.
Yeah, the 25th. And, you know, one of the deals that's floating, you can't react to this, obviously. John is an employee of the team, so he can't react to this. But I can't
talk about players under contract to other teams. But
yeah.
Anybody that's been bought out or done, I can probably jump in on.
Yeah, there is one report floating around that the Lakers are very interested in P.J. Tucker, who's down in Houston, who's kind of a four small ball five kind of. Last year he played small ball five for them. But they're looking for the deal that was on the table and apparently works money-wise is Wes Matthews plus Alphonso McKinney plus Jared Dudley, just to make the money work. But you're talking about...
All right, but let me just speculating here.
Yeah, sure.
Why would Houston do that?
Yeah, here's the thing. Does Houston want a young and ascending player? Because I don't think that group includes that.
Yeah, you don't know. So...
Yeah.
It's got to work for both teams.
Yeah. I just worry now, not so much about the next 3 weeks, but what is the true verdict on Anthony Davis? Like, what is really going on?
Well, and, you know, they're saying the same thing in Brooklyn about Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, Kevin Durant sits the whole All-Star break.
And he's gone at least another 2 weeks, according to Brooklyn.
Yeah. So is this, you know, what I hope it is teams being overly cautious and making sure their guys will be good to go for the postseason run, or is there more to it than that?
By the way, and Joel Embiid, a knee injury, not serious apparently, not structural, but he's going to be out for a while for Philly too.
And by the way, I think that clearly makes LeBron
100%.
A huge favorite to win the MVP.
Completely agree.
There's only been one MVP in league history who's missed more than 20 games. And Embiid's going to miss more than 20 games in a shortened season. You know, they normally play 82. This year they're playing 72. And by the time Embiid comes back, he will have missed more than 20 games. So I think he's, even if he puts up monster numbers, it'd be a huge surprise if he can win it missing that many games.
Yeah, he was the favorite coming into this weekend. But again, he had the injury on Friday night. So he's going to be gone for some stretch of time. So, you know, I think we're at a position where, if you are a team that's got a shot, a real shot, whether it be Brooklyn, whether it be Philly, whether it be the Lakers, there is no reason to rush your guys back. There's just no reason to do it. I mean, AD, if Chris Haynes is right, and it could be 3 weeks or and possibly beyond, that's what Chris Haynes from Yahoo is reporting. Well, you know, that's whatever it takes at this point. And the Lakers are just going to have to find a way to tread water until then. The early part of the schedule, the part of it that Anthony Davis is definitely going to be missing, which would be the next 9 games. They only play two teams that are above 500, and I think 7 of those 9 are at home, if I'm not mistaken. Does it sound right to you?
Yes, and the other thing is that you got to pay attention to is the frequency of the games. For example, tonight we start a stretch. The Lakers are in San Francisco, and they're going to play the Warriors. We'll have that game for you later tonight. By the way, in the second half, in the first half of the season, all these games started at 7.
Yep.
In the second half of the season, most of them start at 7:30. I don't know why, but tonight it's starting at 7:30.
Okay.
But this is game one of 5 games in 7 days. So they play tonight. They play tomorrow night. They have St. Patrick's Day off. Then they play over the weekend. They play Thursday, Saturday day, Sunday night.
Wow.
So
3 straight days?
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Then Saturday day, and then Sunday night.
Yeah.
So it's 5 games in 7 days. That's not, you know, just being honest. That's not the type of gauntlet you want to bring Anthony Davis back into.
No, no.
You know, you want to you want to kind of say, okay, let's get him up, you know, and they wouldn't have to play him every game anyway. But that's, you know, what they have to do. I'm anxious to see what the update will be in 2 weeks because I've watched him shoot. He shoots before games.
Yep.
And he looks good. I mean, he looks fine. That does, you know, I'll trust the doctors here. That doesn't mean he could run up and down a court for 45 minutes. I'm watching him shoot. But it's encouraging, you know, to kind of watch him shoot and play. If Chris Haynes is right, and it's going to be more like 3 weeks, if they brought him back in the middle of April,
yep.
All right, which is they play Boston on April 15th.
Okay.
You know, that'd be a fun game to bring him back for. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know anything. But if they brought him back, that would give him 18 regular season games before the playoffs, which would seem to be just about perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right, because May the 22nd is the end of the season.
Right.
And you get ready for the playoffs at that point. And again, you're just this is just thrown out of date if you're talking about 3 weeks, where exactly you would land or some stretch of that. I just worry, just generally, it seems like it's gone on longer than I originally thought it was going to go on.
Right, but remember, the injury has the word Achilles in it. And even if it's just a sore Achilles or strained Achilles, that's it used to be a career ender.
No, wait, is it strained Achilles or strained calf?
Well, it's the calf muscle above the Achilles. But,
okay.
You know, so they're all connected. Which, by the way, might be why Durant is having issues with his hamstring.
Yeah, sure. He's the same deal. That's what Klay Thompson did his first interview since tearing his Achilles. Did you see that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he was good. But I think you're going to hear the phrase, out of an abundance of caution. You'll hear those three words a lot this year in sports. Abundance of caution, we're canceling the game tonight, or that guy's not going to play tonight. You know, everybody's playing it safe. So I have no problem with the Lakers taking all the time they need. And if he came back in the middle of April, which is more time than they're even saying, than Chris is saying, than the Lakers are saying, I'd be good with that. I mean, that gives them 18 games, and I think that's plenty of time to ramp up for the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to mention Mythical Money, John. You lost Mythical Money on
$5,000
over
the weekend.
Tournament. You lost $5,000. None of your guys came in. Who was it? Justin Thomas is the one that ended
up
winning?
Yeah, DeChambeau finished third, was my closest one. But I had
You had money on DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And I am going to put Mythical Money on the Lakers tonight because I'm feeling good about it.
Well,
I'm feeling good.
They didn't look good Friday until the fourth quarter. But the last time they played the Warriors, they just destroyed them. Remember, the first time they played, the Warriors came from 14 down in the fourth to upset the Lakers at Staples. And I think the Lakers remembered it. And the last game is when the Lakers were up 30 at half. So tonight's the final game between these two teams. They don't play anymore unless the Warriors somehow make the playoffs. But somehow, you know, the Warriors are playing on the second day of a back-to-back. They played yesterday.
Yep.
They beat Utah yesterday.
Wow.
And, like, and easily. Draymond Green had a triple-double. Steph had a great game. So I don't know if that was Utah falling asleep or maybe the Warriors found something, but second night of a back-to-back. I think you're safe. Michael and I can't even bet on games as a joke. So,
right.
But I like your bet. I think you're going to win.
Yeah, it's Lakers minus 2.5 over Golden State. I think they're going to win that game outright.
Yeah.
I'll put 2,000 mythical dollars.
So did you fill your bracket out yet?
No, I'm looking at it. I'm excited about it. Do you have any bracket strategies you want to share? Actually, hold that. 710 ESPN. Anything you want to react to on the show, phone lines are always open. You can jump in. Lakers, brackets, any of that stuff. Also, you can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A, Ireland. And you can email us, venicemace@gmail.com. We'll get your reaction to everything today. Mace in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, right. That guy is so full of himself. Sup? Hey, did you watch the Grammys last night, Ireland?
Not zero. Did you watch
really?
Any?
Yeah, I watched a lot of it. I watched a lot of it. It was actually pretty good. Trevor
so they
Noah,
were performing,
I thought, did a nice job.
They were performing, but no people in the audience.
Correct. They were performing kind of for
like
each...
concert for each other.
Like for each other. So like when Billie Eilish sang, there was Harry Styles with Bad Bunny. And so it was like they were performing for each other, which was interesting. But I thought the highlight of the night was the WAP song, which they did.
They had to clean it up, though, right?
Oh, yeah, they did. But I was trying to imagine, because it was on before 8 o'clock Pacific time, the WAP song appeared.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, now, I first of all, I don't care. I think it's a funny song. I think it's...
Yeah, Michael says that's very offensive and I believe his line was that they are ruining society. No wonder society is going to hell when we play things like the WAP song on the radio.
Now, if I was a dad or if I had kids, I guess I'd wonder about that. I don't care. But, I mean, I pulled some of the lyrics, and I want you to just listen to them.
Okay.
I said, certified freak, 7 days a week, wet blank blank, make that pullout game weak, woo-ah. Yeah, 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 you effing with some blank, blank, blank. Bring a bucket and a mop for this blank, blank, blank. Give me everything you got
They were singing those actual words.
No, they
TV.
Were not. They were they were able to sing it without singing those exact words. But those are the exact lyrics of that song. And I think Michael Thompson's view isn't necessarily out of the mainstream.
No wonder society's going to hell. He might be right.
Yeah. Yeah. The wet blank, blank. Yes, Lindsay says, do the
voice. I think to see your credential.
Yes.
By the way, so many people at the game the other night thinks you guys are all out of your mind. Like,
Mr. Magic Johnson, I would need,
So where do you draw the line? Okay, who gets in without a credential in your world?
The guys with a jersey in the rafters do not need a credential.
Okay, so what about Robert Horry? He does not have his jersey in the rafters.
Robert Horry?
Yeah. Does he need a credential?
Boy. That's a good question.
What about Lamar Odom? Does Lamar Odom need a credential?
It's a good question.
Byron Scott need a credential?
Byron Scott, no, I don't think so. Robert Horry, I don't think so.
So now you've changed the definition. You used to say only people with their names on the wall. Now you're making exceptions. You see the road you're taking us down? How about this? What if Kareem and Magic walk in with Byron Scott? You let Kareem and Magic in and tell Byron he needs a credential?
Yeah, I just don't understand you at the gate saying, I need to see your credential, Mr. Kareem.
Well, no, Michael Roth explained it to you. Everybody needs a credential to get in, or else you can get two super important people that want the same seat. Now, once you let him in without a ticket and he goes and sits courtside, you going to kick Magic Johnson out of that seat?
Out of court? Well, I mean, once you get inside, you need a ticket. You need to have an actual seat.
But you just let him in
the press area.
You just let him into the building with nothing other than the fact that he's got a retired jersey.
Correct. Retired jersey, you don't need a credential.
Okay.
I think that, by the way, is a totally reasonable position.
Okay.
But by the way,
I'm
being told on Twitter, just real quick, it's WAP and not what I was saying, WAP.
Okay. Yeah, well, the initials are WAP, so that makes sense. But, okay, so in your world, okay?
Yep.
Anybody who wins the Heisman at USC gets onto the field, so you have to let Reggie Bush and OJ in, right?
Well, I mean, no double murders.
Okay, so now you're making exceptions again.
Yeah, what I mean, murder is a totally reasonable exception. Right? You could say, I'm sorry, you murdered
two
people.
You killed two people. You're not welcome. Sorry.
You're not welcome.
You need a credential.
Now, Reggie, I think the ban has been lifted, hasn't it?
I think so.
I think the ban, I think it was 10 years, and I think it got lifted.
I think he went back when he was working for Fox. I think that he was back, like, doing – I don't know if he's still doing their college football show, but I think he went back when he was working for Fox. I always thought that suspending Reggie Bush was stupid.
Yeah, the NCAA ban is over.
Yeah, so I just think it's a it. Chris Morales just texted, "You better let OJ in." You know how that goes.
Yeah. Do you have any bracket tips, John? Because, by the way, our bracket group.
I've seen
group...
very few college games this year. Matter of fact, I don't think I've seen a college game start to finish at all. But I have seen, there's going to be some teams. Gonzaga's really, really good.
Yeah. Like, apparently they score like crazy.
Yeah. Then they've had some good tests. I'm running them to the Final Four.
Gonzaga
for sure.
is the favorite. They're, I think they're 2-1 to win
the
whole thing.
I can give you a couple. Michigan and Villanova have both lost key players, like right before the tournament. So they're ripe to get upset, Michigan and Villanova.
Ripe to get upset.
Right, because they don't have those players.
Michigan
lost its leading scorer and Villanova lost its leading scorer.
Michigan was 121-1 back in January, and there were a couple of...
Well, now they're a number one seed, though.
Yeah, now they're, and there was a $30,000 bet on them. And a lot of people apparently bet on Michigan when they were really down. And that's the one team that Vegas cannot afford to win.
One thing that I've had success with, in the years where I try and pick too many upsets.
Upsets, sure.
Is when my bracket goes all to hell. You should stay chalk and pick a few upsets. Like I'd say less than five.
Less than five upsets.
Is the way to go.
But what's the fun in that?
Well, the fun in that is that you win.
Oh, right.
By the way, bad news for you. You ready?
Yep.
Ian Rappaport. Rams safety John Johnson is signing with the Browns.
Yeah, he posted, I was just going to mention that, he posted a farewell to L.A. and the Rams.
He was really good
for
the Rams.
He's great. State-of-the-art safety. Going to be really tough to replace him. He was a huge part of that defense last year. And, of course, the other guy that they're going to lose, I haven't seen a farewell message yet, but Leonard Floyd is definitely leaving. And I have a feeling he's just going across the street to the Chargers to play for Brandon Staley again. Because Leonard Floyd was, when Brandon Staley was linebacker's coach in Chicago, that's where Leonard Floyd was.
He's just kind of following him around.
And he's kind of following him around. He thinks he brings out the best of him. And, you know, all these edge rushers wind up getting paid for the Rams. You know, Dante Fowler got paid after having a really good year. So I think
the
reality
is... Well,
this
is a little bit of playing next to Aaron Donald. It's like all those guys from the Cavs that got paid when LeBron won the title in 2016.
Yes.
All of a sudden, Matthew Dellavedova and J.R. Smith and... Tristan Thompson all got max contracts, you know, and it was because they were playing with LeBron.
Of course. And in the case of when you're throwing so much of the offensive line at Aaron Donald, clearly somebody on the edge is going to find a way to get to the quarterback. I am told right now, how is this possible? We have 80,000 people in our 710 ESPN bracket.
No, that's not right.
That's what Tommy says.
Yeah, we may have room for that, but there's no way that many people have signed
80,000 plus in our 710 bracket so far.
Yeah, there's no way that many people have signed up already.
I'm telling you, it's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Their leftovers maybe from last year, but they're in there. 80,000 people are in our 710 bracket so far.
If you count the ones from last year, sure.
Yeah. All right. Don't forget, you can get the into our bracket contest by going to @ESPN Los Angeles, and if you are the overall winner, everybody from the station is doing. If you're the overall winner, I will send you pizza and beer myself personally, unless John Ireland wants to chip in.
Yeah, I'll throw something in there.
Okay, good. So it'll be even more pizza and even more beer. We got Dan Wyke coming up for you in 10 minutes, and coming up next, a guy who is suing his parents for money. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yes. Yeah. By the way, USC in a really good position in the
NCAA
tournament.
I love USC in this tournament.
Yeah,
I think Evan Mobley might be the second best player in the tournament.
They are the sixth seed in the West. They would play Kansas in the second round. So that's their matchup. They got Wichita State Drake winner in the first round. By the way, UCLA's in a play-in game.
Yeah, against Michigan State, who's already been in Indianapolis. I don't feel great about them. I'll probably pick them just because they're UCLA.
Right.
I don't. I think Michigan State has been in Indiana because they were in the Big Ten tournament, and they're just sitting there waiting for them. And UCLA's lost four of their last five, I think. So it doesn't. It USC's in a much better position than UCLA, at least initially.
All right. So a 41-year-old London man named Faiz Siddiqui,
okay,
is suing his parents for lifetime financial support. He is a lawyer. He went to Oxford, and his parents have been paying for a $1.4 million euro flat near London's Hyde Park. They also cover his bills and give him a weekly allowance. Now, there was a family fight, and the parents have threatened to cut him off. He has gone to court to sue for lifetime financial support. So this guy who's never paid for anything, been out of work since 2011, suing his parents for financial support, saying that he has no means of living and would become destitute without their support. John, what do you think of the case?
I think this guy is the definition of an ingrate. he should be embarrassed. I think that anybody who would sue their own parents when they're 41 years old is, I mean, is that not, I mean, look up loser in a dictionary and put this guy's picture in it. What in the world is he doing?
Well, let's think about this for a second. So his whole life, his parents have paid for everything.
Correct.
He's spoiled, right?
Correct.
All of a sudden, they pull it. How do you expect the guy to make a living when he's been on the dole the entire time? Wasn't the right time to cut the kid off when he was like 18 years old or 20 years old or 21 years old?
He's an attorney. So he's not a there's no special needs issues going on here, right?
Correct. None.
There's nothing that would keep him from getting his own job.
There technically is nothing wrong from him getting.
Yeah, he's a loser. I hope the court I hope the court sacks him with a loss in court and then makes him pay the attorney's fees that his parents had to pay to defend themselves. Can you imagine ever doing that to your own parents?
Suing my parents?
And you've talked many times about how you supported your parents when you were like a teenager.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was working.
You would have
from the
grounds
time I was a kid.
Potentially, but you still wouldn't sue them.
When did you become financially independent?
Right when I got out of school. I never asked my parents for another dime as soon as I got out of UCLA.
Did they help pay for college?
Yes.
That was nice.
Yeah, and
I paid for college myself.
Was it you got in state in Bowling Green? Was it expensive? Is it public or private?
It cost $2,000 a year to go to Bowling Green.
What?
Now back then, Michael, not even that.
Exactly. It's Bowling Green. You didn't go to Harvard or to Minnesota.
It's the Harvard.
Nobody gave
Northeast
me a bag
Ohio.
Of money to play basketball, man.
It was a shoebox, not a bag.
Hey, Michael, are you ever going to tell the truth
about what
publicly about why you went to Minnesota?
I've already. What do you think? You think I'm sort of fudging or holding something back?
I think that there's no way a kid from the Bahamas living in Miami who could go anywhere chooses to go to the coldest place in America. It makes no sense to me.
I would have stayed in Miami or in Florida if three things. If Florida and Florida State had regular gyms, they had high school gyms by the time. This is back in the mid-70s, got to remember.
Right. Okay, so the facilities were better in Minnesota?
Yeah, facilities were horrible at those two schools. Now, obviously, they've been majorly upgraded since then. And Miami, University of Miami, did not have a basketball program. They discontinued it because if they would have had, I would have stayed right in Miami.
Right. So instead, you said it's a shoebox full of money?
Yeah. So it wasn't, and mostly it was singles and fives.
Did you take the best offer? Like, did anybody have a bigger box of money, or you took the best deal you could get?
Houston, Wisconsin, Florida State, none of those teams offered me any cash.
Did you have an agent at that point?
No agent at that point. Are you back in those days?
So
this is back in the Stone Age.
You don't have to name the school.
Yeah.
But did anyone offer Clay anything under the table?
Oh, no. I wouldn't have tolerated that.
No, and, I'm not saying you did. Like, if you did it, you could just go, well, we're not going there. Those guys are cheating.
No, you got to remember, Clay was not highly recruited.
That's right.
Every Pac-12 team turned him down except Washington State. Teams came out of him like Kansas. All the big schools weren't interested in Clay because he wasn't dunking the ball. All he could do was shoot.
So Mace, have I ever told you this story that Michael, and this is actually very out of character for Michael, he actually picked up the phone and called the head coach at UCLA, I think it was Ben Hallen at the time,
and
Tim Floyd, the head coach at USC, and said, guys, just please take a look at my son. He is an unbelievable shooter. You won't regret it. And both Floyd and Hallen said, I can't take him. all my guys here are better than he is.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, Clay was the Pac-12 Player of the Year.
Yeah, I tried to tell him. I said he's not a one-and-done kid, so he'll be there for 3 to 4 years. So you don't have to worry about him being there one time and leaving. But I told him he can play, man. I'm telling you. But, of course, they hear that from every parent. So I guess they
I'll tell you, Michael, I read that. I guess Clay did his first interview since the hamstring tear. And it sounds like
Achilles
it's been
tear.
Achilles tear, and it sounds like it's been a really, really rough year, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously you can't complain too much publicly because of what people have suffered through in this pandemic, losing relatives, losing their careers, losing their businesses. So you can't whine too much. But still, he is human, and mentally it has been the toughest part, having to miss two consecutive years in a row. Obviously, he'll be able to play again. It's not like his career is over. So you got to keep it all in perspective. But it is frustrating. And I told him, I don't blame you for being frustrated. You're human, and you get something gets taken away that you love to do, you have a passion for. Of course, you're going to be frustrated and a little upset and whine a little bit. You got to allow yourself to whine a little bit. We all are human. But he knows he'll be back at full strength. And like he said, he intends to be back at an all-star level.
Is he? Did he have to see fewer Instagram models?
they can help.
Yeah, I don't know.
They can help get you through the tough times.
I don't mean to bag on him, you know, because I know those young ladies are just trying to make a living.
Yeah,
being influencers, as they call them. But
they're creators. They're influencers.
But if you do that, do you have to stick your ass out? That's all I'm saying, Mace.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, Gladys Knight didn't have to do that, and Diana Ross, but, you know, and even
sure
Beyonce doesn't do that.
Sultry times, pictures of Diana Ross.
Times have changed, Michael. Times have changed.
You don't want your girl walking around talking about wop, 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 do you?
Okay. So, wait a minute. Did you happen to hear the lyrics for that song?
Exactly. Now do you understand why I say that's a
Michael,
bad influence on young ladies?
I agree with you that society's going to hell after hearing the lyrics
from
that song.
And by the way, Ireland. I don't know what you heard the other night at Staples Center, but everybody was on my side about the credentials.
Yes,
no credentials.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Would you like me to read the Twitter reaction from anyone ever involved in any type of security telling you guys
how
wrong
you are? Because those people don't have common sense.
Michael, there is no metric by which you measure who gets in
we
and
should,
who gets
we
out.
We should mention we had a debate on Friday because Patrick Ewing was stopped at Madison Square Garden, even though he's arguably the greatest Knick of all time and his jersey hangs in the rafters. So we got into this conversation about whether or not you've got to ask Magic Johnson for a credential.
By the way, Michael, yes, I don't think Magic Johnson would try and get into the building without a credential.
Yeah.
I think he's too smart.
I mean, he should be able to if he wanted to. Him and Kareem.
Mr. Worthy, may I please see your credential?
Yes. You know, you can't go in the locker room to say hello to LeBron because you don't have a credential.
You can't just let someone walk in.
Wait a minute.
It's not someone.
It's not just someone, Ireland. Why don't you get it through your thick
head?
It's
not like some rando.
Right.
It's James Worthy.
Yeah. Wait, Michael, not Sadale Threet.
Okay, Michael, you remember that Jerry West walked into the locker room in Phil Jackson's first year as the coach.
Let's not bring that up.
And Phil said, what the hell are you doing in here? This is a closed meeting. Jerry walked out, and that was the beginning of Jerry leaving the Lakers.
I like my job, so I'm not going to comment.
Yeah, no comment. All right, coming up next for you, Dan Wyke's going to join us. And plus, Matt, Michael, you've got to be able to – Adam can probably help you. You've got to fill out your brackets today.
Wait a minute.
Today.
I have not watched one college basketball. How can you guys fill out a bracket?
I'm doing it.
Name me three college players.
Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley,
uh-huh,
and Johnny Juzang.
All right. Now, Mason, name me three more.
Ted Leonis.
Ted Bundy.
Ted Leonis. That's the guy that owns AOL. Yeah.
Ted Leonis.
You guys haven't seen one college game.
Wizards.
You guys haven't seen one college game, but you're going to fill out a bracket.
He's the owner of the Wizards. Right.
And the Capitals.
Who's the number three team in college basketball right now?
Baylor.
All right. Who's number two?
Let's see, it goes Gonzaga, Ohio State, Baylor.
I thought it was Michigan.
No, Michigan, right?
Michigan, Baylor. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm in the ballpark. Yeah. No, the idea is it's who guesses the best,
you're
Michael.
Right. You're right. Even if you watch every game, it's still guessing.
We've got you set up in the contest, so I want you to fill
Me?
It out before you even leave today. Yeah.
You're lucky. You might win it.
Is Minnesota in?
No, you know what? Minnesota's get Michael, did you ever play for a guy whose last name is Dutcher?
Yes, Jim Dutcher.
Of course. So here's what's happening with your alma mater. They're going to fire Richard Pitino, the rumor is, because he keeps losing.
Yeah.
and they're going to hire Jim Dutcher's son, Brian, who right now is the coach at San Diego
State. He was like 2 years old when I was in college there.
I figured you knew him.
Oh, yeah, of course I know Brian.
Coaches get younger and younger. All right, coming up next for you, Dan Wyke's going to hang out with us. Don't forget, top of the hour at 1:55, we have got Fast Track, which has returned triumphantly. It returned on Friday, and we will roll on with it today. Make sure you're here in 20 minutes for that. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, don't forget, enter our 710 ESPN Bracket Challenge. Go to our at ESPN Los Angeles Twitter page. Enter your bracket today. You can play along with me, Ireland, Lindsay, Jorge, everybody basically from the station, Sedano and LZ and Cap and Max Kellerman, everybody's in this thing.
Could I ask Ireland something?
Yeah.
Ireland, there's a Pearl Jam concert going on at Staples Center, right?
Okay.
Mick Jagger pulls up down the ramp and says, I want to get in there and see the guys and maybe jam a little bit with them. I don't have any credentials. Would you, John Arnold, let him in?
I probably would.
See? You hypocrite!
Yeah.
There you go.
Broke your own rule.
There you go. See, that's what we're talking about, Ireland. Common sense.
But here's the problem with you letting anybody in, Michael.
Ireland, will you quit saying letting anybody in?
Okay, Michael. All right. James Worthy.
Hall of Famer.
All right, so he gets in.
Yes.
Yes.
James Worthy, Kareem.
Yes.
Yes.
And Byron walk in together.
They get in. They all
Why
walk
does Byron
in.
Byron get in?
If Byron's with him, he's in, baby.
So what if you're with him?
Yeah, if I'm long as the Magic's and Kareem's, I can go in with them, yes.
So you're like the guy, you know, not Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan does this. He shows up at golf courses without a tee time and brings like seven guys
with
him.
So it's Michael freaking Jordan.
So you think he does that at Riviera? You think he's getting on?
Yeah, he better.
What about Augusta?
It's Michael Jordan. Why wouldn't he? Listen, you're talking about special, the elite of the VIPs, Ireland.
I'm with Michael. Hang on a second. Dan Wyke's online from the LA Times. Hey, Dan, what are you doing, man?
I'm listening to you guys talk about this, and you know, when you're famous like Michael and I, there is a special economy that no one else has privy to, and I appreciate that Michael is trying to explain this to you guys, but it's just sort of how it works. It's like Michael Jordan goes where he wants to, Michael Thompson goes where he wants
to. Not me.
The guy who works for a newspaper goes where he wants to.
I was going to say.
That's the way life works.
No, so Dan, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but I was just telling Mason off the air that the last time I saw you at the game at Friday night, you were investing in Top Shot collectibles.
I was. $9.
You mentioned you paid $9. Is this something you're doing for a story or just because you were curious and you want to know how it works? Are you genuinely interested in? What got you to open your wallet to buy these collectibles?
I kind of know how it works. I have friends that are doing it who've actually made like real money on this. And this is a great time, guys. I appreciate the opportunity. I have a clip of Cody Zeller dunking.
Wow.
That you can find for free on YouTube, by the way. I will sell it to you for $25 million.
Nice.
I have one.
The Cody Zeller dunk. Everybody is still buzzing about that.
Okay, but Dan, explain to us in the audience what the hope is. Like, you bought a pack of collectibles, and you're hoping you get this. Is it like going in the old days, like going and buying baseball cards at the drugstore? You're just hoping you get a what? So how does it work?
No, okay, so like in its most base sense, right, is like you would buy a trading card for two reasons, right? Like you would either buy it to keep it or you'd buy it to sell it. Like this is an economy that exists solely on the premise that everything that you get, you will want to sell.
Okay.
Right? So for instance, I read an article from someone like this is about a month ago when this thing was like really starting to heat up a little bit that explained it. It was a rich guy who tried to buy a Honus Wagner rookie card. As part of like a group in an auction, right? And had he been successful, he said, like, we would have taken the card. It would have gone right from the auction house into a safe. I never would have physically held it. I never would have physically brought it home with me. And it would stay in that safe until I find someone else to buy it. You know, does that mean because he can't produce it, does that mean he doesn't own it? No, of course he owns it. This is sort of the same premise, right? Is that you have something that is scarce and authenticated, and you are able to sell it, even though you don't have physical kind of possession of it.
Right, but Dan, where I get conflicted.
It's mostly stupid.
When I get conflicted is what you said. I can see it on YouTube. So,
yeah, but you don't understand. Yeah. It's if it's one of one, it's scarce, right? And that's what's happening. Like you're getting one of one Anthony Davis 3-point shot to win. What was that game?
Game two of the Western Conference Finals.
Game two of the Western Conference Finals.
Exactly.
You get that moment. And it's scarce. So maybe there's only two of those out there or only three of those out there.
Yeah, Mason's 100%. It's the scarcity that matters. Like if it was, you know, if there's 50,000, like so every – we're going to get really in the weeds here real quick. So what makes it special, right, is that it is individually numbered and authenticated, right? For instance, like that Cody Zeller thing, that it's worth nothing because there's like 35,000 of them and no one wants them, right? let's say they were 35,000 Anthony Davis three-pointers. Like that would be worth more than obviously Cody Zeller dunk. People care more about Anthony Davis. But if there was only, let's say, 200 of the Cody Zeller dunks, that would be worth way more because of the scarcity. Like that's
okay.
All this.
All right. So Dan, like, I didn't want to devote your whole segment to this, but I was curious because you're done. Let me ask you this. Mason asked me a question earlier that I wanted you to weigh in on. He said the news that Anthony Davis, that they told us on Friday, that Anthony Davis is going to be out at least two more weeks. And Chris Haynes from Yahoo speculating today, it could be 3 weeks or longer, and the injury to Jared Dudley. Now that he apparently has a torn meniscus, does that change the way Rob Pelinka and the Laker front office tackle the trade deadline in the buyout market, in your opinion?
Not even a little. Huh. I don't think. I think the Dudley injury, I say this with full respect to Jared Dudley, who is had a tremendous NBA career and hopefully will continue to have a tremendous NBA career. His value to the team isn't necessarily on the floor. Right, like his value to the team is in the locker room. His value to the team is on the bench. It's his ability to be as open and honest in a communication with Devontae Kaycock as he can be with LeBron James. Right, like there's only a handful of people who have that kind of special personality and special bond that allows you to move between groups without any real sort of resistance. And Jared Dudley is one of those people, and that's why he's valuable to the Lakers, right? Or that's why he's most valuable to the Lakers. Obviously, he's a amazing basketball player. People who are in Jared Dudley's mentions saying like, "Oh, I could kill you." One Jared Dudley would smoke you. That's not the point. But like but that's what he matters to Lakers. So that shouldn't and actually kind of financially can't even really alter their plans. I think the AD injury is still, it sort of is what it is, right? Unless there's been some sort of setback that we don't know about, right? Like this is just the Lakers being very, very calm, very, very deliberate. And it's not like I think there's an option out there based on the assets that they have that you could say, well, AD's hurt, so let's go get this X player and plug him in. I don't think there's a better option than Markieff Morris available. I really don't, based on what the Lakers have. Now, look, the bio market is a different animal. If Andre Drummond's available in the bio market, yeah. If LaMarcus Aldridge is available in the bio market, yeah. But if Anthony Davis was healthy, they would knock down those same doors.
By the way, Dan, do you think those two guys you just mentioned will be available in the buyout market, or do you think they get traded?
I mean, I think, you know, the kind of what I've heard so far is the same thing that everybody sort of reported, is that these teams think that they've got suitors, you know what I mean? But I also don't think that you would hear either team right now say things like, boy, we've got no luck on this. You know, both teams are projecting a little bit of strength, a little bit of leverage in situations in which they have almost none. To say, like, there is a market for LaMarcus Aldridge, there is a market for Andre Drummond.
Right.
Guys, if you look through the contenders, it's hard to find $27 to $28 million that the Brooklyn Nets would be willing to trade for Andre for, you know, half a season Andre Drummond. Like that's tough to make that math. It's impossible almost for the Lakers to make that math. We're talking about second and third tier teams where, you know, a Drummond acquisition probably isn't gonna move the needle. I mean, that's possible, but I also think that, you know, there's really only one team out there that can do this super easily without kind of any skin off their back, and that's the Boston Celtics, because they have that huge Gordon Hayward trade exception.
Yeah, $28 million.
You can kind of just, you can just plug, you know, one of those guys into that. So, I mean, that could be Al Horford, too. I mean, it's sort of, you know, they can kind of pick, and if they're willing to attach assets to those things, you know, I think they would be the front runner if that's what they want to do, but... You know, it's not, pardon the horrible basketball fun, it's not slam dunk. And I mean, I think there will be somebody available on the buyout market. It just, like, whether it's any of those guys, whether it's P.J. Tucker, whoever. I mean, I think the Lakers will add somebody.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's a good reminder, though, that it's sort of like, you know, it's the buyout market for a reason, too.
Yep. All right. Hey, listen, Dan, thank you very much. When I need a Cody Zeller dunk, I know exactly who to come to.
Well, you better hurry up. The same teams that are trying to trade for LaMarcus Aldridge's contract, I've got them on the line, too, trying to sell them the stop shop. So.
Nice. Nice. All right. Hey, Dan, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
That'd be good. All right, guys.
All right, cool. And coming up next for you is Fast Track, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.